What's happening, y'all? Jeffrey at Jeffrey TV, coming to you live. Happy Saturday. From the undisclosed location, after returning from a trip to Vegas, Henderson, Vegas, to see Funk Night. It appeared to be a cocaine, K-O-K-N-E production in which he set up a couple acts to maybe present or feature his upcoming project. You know, sometimes, and this may be hard to believe, maybe even for me, sometimes it's hard for me to be critical. No, I take that back. Sometimes, well, hard to be critical is a different way of putting it. Sometimes I don't feel like being critical. I would just rather stay platonic and neutral, not have an opinion, and just kind of, you know, stay low and not having to stand up, give an opinion, and then stand behind that opinion, so to speak, something like that. And this, it's like going out on a limb sometimes when you voice your opinion, especially when you feel or know that opinion is going to be quote unquote negative, seen or portrayed, or actually is a negative opinion of something. And today is one of those days where I'm just kicked back. I had a good evening. The question was it worth a PTO day and maybe $200 and a day of PTO, probably plus more than 200, because a couple tanks of gas, so that's probably 300. Food while I was there, I was going to do food. I'll probably do food here. And while I was there, I got some good pizza. I think it was called Aldo's Pizza. Right there on Las Vegas Boulevard. I'm not going to call it the Strip because it was closer to downtown. And it was a little more seedy. Is that the word I can use? Which is not a bad thing, if you ask me. In fact, it could be good in most cases, and maybe why I like staying downtown Fremont Street in Vegas way, way, way more than I like staying on the Strip up around, you know, Bellagio and all those hotels. Stuff be happening downtown, and I like the people downtown. It's more guttural, and since I'm a classist, I understand that may be quote unquote a lower class of citizenry. Then maybe I'm in, or it could be seen as a lower class, regardless of my status, especially compared to the Strip, people being up, you know, around Bellagio, Circus Paris. Definitely saw some stuff walking around, getting pizza. Super 8 Hotel right there, right next to the wedding chapels. Saw a lot of people getting married, a lot of white dresses. People dressed up. You know, people dressed up formal. It wasn't just like, you know, throw some clothes, let's go get married. No, you could tell some stuff went into it. Even though it was like a quote unquote Vegas wedding. And I don't want to say cartoon or novelty wedding, but, you know, you're getting married at Elvis Presley Chapel or something like that, you know? And they kind of hyped that part up right next to a tattoo parlor. And they kind of hyped that up So, and it's definitely not, you know, promoted as something as traditional or as maybe as reverent as a church wedding, you know, something formal like that. So, you know, you saw that too. You saw people dressed up, you know, really, really nice dressed up, and, you know, all, you know, guests and everything and brides and grooms, they're holding hands. You can see a special day for them, and, you know, I get it. You know, you get it. Then the hotel's right there. I think right next to the hotel is some kind of drag queen, transsexual something, transvestite, cross-dresser, something like that. Some kind of place or organization or something. You know, just that kind of stuff, you know. No big deal. But that's where I stayed. I said I wasn't going to do a two-star Super 8 hotel. It was definitely a two-star. Stuff was banged up, paint chipped. Stuff was worn, but it was clean, spacious, and everything worked. And it wasn't too loud. It was just enough loudness, just enough stuff going on all night, people talking, walking by, whatever. Just enough to let you know you're in Vegas, damn it. Nothing that, you know, annoyed me to keep me awake or anything. Just enough to like, all right, you know, I'm in it. So, got there, got a pizza. Slept for an hour and a half. Got up. I knew I was going to be late. I knew I was going to be late, and I knew it was going to start late. I just knew it. And as cocaine put it, this some nigga shit. And you may or may not use that word, nigger or nigga, but I'm pretty sure you know what I'm talking about when I say this was some nigga shit. And in fact, when I walked in there, I ran into Roger Dexter, who I knew like 20 years ago, used to do stuff with Trulio, because Norwood was going to be there, blah, 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 blah. And he lived in Vegas, blah, blah, you know. So, you know, we sitting here, and I said, you know, I asked him, you ever been here before? He said, no. Have I ever been here before? And he said, no. But I said, but I knew it was going to be just like this. I knew it was going to be just like it was. I just knew it. And of course, at that time, I wasn't thinking nigga shit. That term didn't hit me until cocaine said it towards the end of the show. Until after the show got started, until his set came up. But that's what kind of what I meant. And I told Roger, I was like, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes I'm looking for that. It's just a vibe and the way it happens and the way things don't happen and just the way things go in that kind of cultural environment or setting or whatever. And sometimes it's appealing to me. Sometimes I even crave it. Sometimes I want it. You know, I'm looking for that kind of flavor right down to the DJ. Right down to the DJ who was playing those kind of mixes and those kind of songs and the way he was playing them and the way, you know, he talked to the audience and just the whole vibe of the bartenders and the people sitting at the bar and all that. It wasn't that gentrified kind of night out that, you know, I've been kind of getting used to being in all the time. I can't even put it that way because I don't even know if I was even used to being in that kind of bar. But where they have velvet ropes everywhere for no reason, you know, they're probably pushing bottle service and like little lounge couches and tables. I mean, they had velvet ropes everywhere. It was like little 3-foot, 4-foot velvet ropes in front of every, like, in front of like 10 or 12, 13 couches, you know, to give that feeling, table, you know, just to give that vibe. And I get it, you know. DJ was good because he was playing our music. When I say our music, I mean that 70s funk stuff. And he would play it and let it play. And he would mix it. He would mix two songs together and let them play together for a while and just not, you know, switch from one song to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. Just good vibey music. So I knew what I was getting into, so I knew I could get there late. So I didn't get up till 8:30, knowing I probably wasn't gonna leave till 9. Then when I did get up, it was raining. Hard, kind of hard. I was like, oh boy. So I just got showered, got dressed. Then I realized I didn't have no gas. So I went and got gas. And I really wasn't concentrating. You know, purposely not concentrating. Just kind of going with the flow. Got turned around a couple times. And a little bit of anxiety kind of crept up. You're gonna be late. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss it. You're gonna miss it. And that's natural, I think. And I probably like it. And then, so I get there and I walk in, and you know, there's a girl sitting there at the thing, and as soon as I walk in and look around, I'm going, yep, just what I thought. And I walked in, I showed her my ticket that I purchased. She was like, oh, okay. I'm thinking nobody else had to pay. I mean, it probably, you know, it was like that. It wasn't no, let me see your ticket, scan, you know, badge. I mean, get a wristband or a stamp or anything. No, she was like, oh, you paid. Good for you. But I wanted to support, and I would have paid anyway. Just like when I got drinks, I just ordered a punch. But one cool thing about that whole experience, though, I'll tell you, one cool thing about that whole experience, I mean, not one cool thing, it was a bunch of them, but when I told him I wanted a punch, he knew what I was talking about, and he made a damn good one. Of course, he charged me $2. I put down a $5. He kind of played it off and didn't bring me back change. He kind of gave me the opportunity to ask for change, but he kind of, you know, walked around with it in his hand, like, unless he say something, I'm gonna keep it. I was like, I'll go ahead, man. I'll support the plus. And he told me it was $2. A little bit later, I went to get a punch. He told me it was $4. I gave him a $5. I was like, keep it, man. You know, I was like, I knew where I was at. Went in Rome. So I was telling Roger and his buddy, I think Joe was his name, whatever his name, played with the Shy Lights for a little bit or something. He's in Roger's band. I mean, I know where I'm at. You know, he was like, oh man, you see that? They got Norwood playing through a keyboard amp. I was like, man, did we just talk about this? Remember where you at? Come on. You know, that's where I come from. It's like, remember where you at, dog? Come on, we just talked about it. You know, because if you sit around, and some people get, there's a joy and an excitement and a fun in sitting around and picking a place apart or pointing out stuff. Then you go, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look, they're doing this. Oh, how can they do that? You know, it's fun. You can do it, you know, in fun too. You can also do it to be malicious. You know, I'm not saying that he was doing it malicious or anything, but you know, I've done it. And it's just fun. So when I walk in, as soon as I walk in, they playing Disco to Go. Disco to Go by the Brides was playing. I walk right to the front. I walk right to the front of the stage, as close to the sound as I can get. And just let it go all through me. When I hear that goddamn music, the world changes. When I hear that, that's why I don't listen to it. That's why I do not listen to it in my free time. So when I hear it, when I go out, oh my God. Oh, then we will go. Just walked to the front. Do you think I was in my bedroom 40 years ago doing what I do? You think I was in my bedroom 40 years ago with nobody around, quote unquote, dancing like nobody's looking? Because that's how I get when I hear that music. When that music hit me, when it hits, things just change. It becomes my world, my place. My, whatever you want to call it. What is somebody doing down in the wash? Do you see that? I wonder if you can see that. See how good the zoom is. Probably ain't worth a damn, but let's see. What the, oh, they up there. See them? Can you see anybody? The resolution isn't that great. I can go 4:1. Can you see them down there? Oh, I'm over here. They should be over here. Can you see them there? Anyway, hearing that music, and then after that, I was waiting. And then on this marquee going across the front of his DJ setup, scrolling letters that said P-Funk meets G-Funk. Walking in, I met a homie from Vegas that I know. One of those people who been seeing him for years, know him, they know me. I don't know his name. But if I see him on Facebook, I know he was. You know, so it's kind of cool to go to a place. I'm kind of getting used to it, go to a place here nor there and be, and know people, you know. I'm starting to get used to that. I'm starting to be that person. I'm definitely that person, man. You know, I walk in like, what the hell's going on here? You know, I do. I walk in like, what the hell is going on here? Not like that, but, you know, hey, what's up, y'all? Are we ready to do this? You know, like, I just been there, done that. So, you know, you listen to the music. I was digging on his vibe, on the DJ's vibe. So, and I knew it was going to be a while. So I got there probably for an hour before the music actually started, before Gary Shotter took the stage. Actually, it was a rapper before him, you know, rapping to a track. Young, you know, energy, same kind of, you know. Chazé was there back in Cocaine's set, more like DJing. So Garrett's band was Garrett Scheider, leading vocals, Norwood Fisher, bass, Jay O'Keefe, guitar, and Chuck Boogie on keys. So basically, you know, that's Norwood's crew from the left coast, as Mr. Scheider was calling it. Well, I'm kind of tired and it's hot, so I'm going to cut to the chase, sort of, whatever. Let's go down to the bottom line. The bottom line is, was it worth $300 and a day of PTO to have that experience? The answer is yes. The answer is yes, and I'll go into why later. But it's yes. And it's not, and it just, again, when I chase P-Funk all over the world and go see him here and there, it's not just I'm doing all that to go to P-Funk and see the show. It's the destination. I enjoy the travel. I enjoy preparing for the travel. I love getting to hotels. I love staying in hotels. I love transportation. So all that goes into it. But it's based, and the primary reason for doing it is to go see the act or the show. That's one aspect to look at it. And the second is, does the show live up to the value that I invested in it, to put it crudely? And as far as going yesterday, the answer was yes. It was yes. And when I was leaving, I'm not even getting into the details of the show. But when I was leaving, Mr. Shutter said, you know, thanks for coming. And I was like, what are you thanking me for? It's like, I should be thanking him. And it struck me as funny that it just hit me that way. I was like, thank you for coming. What do you mean? Thank you for doing it. And it hit me that I can't get this nowhere else. I can't get that anywhere else. I can't get what you do anywhere else. There's only a few people on the planet where I get this feeling from, where I can get that feeling I had when I'm sitting there listening to him sing, I'll Stay. And just hearing his voice and the way things he's doing with it now. And the vocal gymnastics and the growl and the whatever you want to call it, yeah, all that. And it may be that it can only be from him. It very well may be because of his lineage and his position within the P-Funk camp and the P-Funk family and the P-Funk, that I might not be able to get anywhere else. Like, Enema Squad had a dude who sounded just like Glenn Goyn. Now, I don't know his background. I don't know, you know, what he's been through or not. But no matter how much he sound like P-Funk or with this, without knowing his lineage or where he came from, or not where he came from, but you know, that not family. I don't want to say family because that gives a different connotation for what I mean. But from the P-Funk home foundation or whatever, P-Funk core or whatever, I was like, you might be the only one who can do it. Even if we was to go out and find somebody who sounds just like this or just like that. And then later that day, it kind of goes with this, the DJ played Knee Deep. The original album version, kind of sped up. So you got that Knee Deep vibe from back when it came out. That you got that, you know, that she's free. That. And then you hear, and I remember one time I was in a hotel room with Mr. Scheider and Mr. McCain, and I was playing the Did You Sing on This? And I thought I got him. I was like, you sing on E Deep? Did you sing on E Deep? Because I remember hearing him on E Deep. And he went, I almost fainted. I almost fainted. So I'm sitting there watching Garrett Scheider set up, clean up his stuff, put his pack up. Knee Deep is playing. And all this is going through my head. And I'm hearing Knee Deep. I'm hearing that voice. I'm seeing him. And after what he did to me, singing I'll Stay and hearing his vocals on over Trash and Go-Go and other sound and music. It's very well very, very well that I can't get that nowhere else. Django is the other one who makes me cry. He made me cry on Smokey. What they did against Norwood is Norwood was there again. So I think about Norwood too. That I may not speak to him. You know, we don't never have direct conversation. He always busy, and I ain't one to just kind of break in. Well, I am one to break in, but you know, it may be an alpha to alpha thing. I just can't, certain people I just can't run about. Just maybe my ego or whatever, but. And my thing with that is, and like I said with Mr. Clinton, if you can't tell how I feel about the experience or what I'm experiencing during the show, I didn't do my job. You shouldn't even have to ask me how I'm doing or how I feel or how was it. If you can't tell, I'm not doing my job. So if I saw Mr. Fisher yesterday and just kind of gave him a, you know, because I know all he's going through and just the whole thing, just the whole to be here and, you know, and I'm like, I know in my mind, I'm going, I know you're going through a lot, quote unquote, going through a lot, blah, 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 whatever that means. But the show must go on. That's me, because the music comes first. I understand. You got turmoil, trials and tribulations. You're going through this, you're going through that. But I'm about the music. The show must go on. And I recorded it. I got a pretty decent recording of it. So that is embarked. That will be imprinted on the universe. That is out there. It's captured. To me, that's important. That's important. So me and Mr. Fisher go back, and again I said it, and I'm starting to realize too, I was in another show, other podcast or whatever, that I noticed I say a lot of things over and over again, but they fit and the story just keeps fitting. It was him and Lodge that put me on. They put me on. It was them two, Mr. Curry and Mr. Fisher. They put me on the road to becoming whatever I am, whatever P-Funk One is. So me and him go back, and I always look to him, see what he's saying, what he's thinking, how he think. Certain people, you just want to see how and what they think, their view of things, their take on it, whether I agree with it or not. It's just interesting to hear where they're coming from. And he's one of those people. So, and like I said, that second time, and then the other time, he did the love songs on Valentine's Day. And they sang A Love of Your Own, which is my all-time favorite slow jam ever in the world, hands down. So his vibe has always hit me. Like I said, he Trulio did Smokey. Mr. Waddy was on drums. You know what, on bass, Django and them. Tears rolling down my face. Then when they sing I'll Stay, and I think, oh, 420 Funk Mob did it too. I think they did I'll Stay. Mr. Scheider sang it at the Whiskey. Had my eyes watering up. So that's special. That stuff is special to me. And when you think about that, that makes it worth it. That makes the day of PTO and the money I spent to have that experience worth it, because I can't get it anywhere else at that level. Now, the LA Maggots take me to a place. There's other groups that take me to a place. Clones of Funk take me to a place. But it doesn't compare to P-Funk. Maybe this might be in my head. From growing up with it, knowing the legacy, and just the Parliament, but I can't get that anywhere else. I can't get that feeling anywhere else. And when P-Funk's playing and I go to the show, I wouldn't say I have a whole different mindset, but my energy goes to another level. My energy goes from another level, not just from when they playing, from the time I walk up to the venue. From the time I walk up to the venue, all of that, to put it crudely, is here to facilitate me getting my dose or injection of P-Funk, because I can't get it nowhere else. So when Mr. Shatter asked me, when he told me, thanks for coming, I'm like, thank me? Shit. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being here. And also could come down to nothing else to get me off my ass. I wouldn't invest blindly. Oop, Gary Shot is there, I'm going. Didn't even think about it. Didn't even consider it. Just bought a damn ticket. just bought a ticket. Oop, I'm going. Especially if I saw no one was going to be there. Oop, 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 oop. Day off. I don't care how much P2O I got or don't got. I'll worry about the logistics later, but I'm going. It wasn't until right before the show, when it's time to depart and leave for the show, at the end of the week, when I started getting run down from work week and a little bit tired, and things starting to catch up with me, that I said, what the hell am I doing? But I do that forever. I do that, and I think it's a good thing. I think I do that to psych myself out, to bring myself all the way down, lower my expectations. Because once I get to the venue, it's Jeffrey. Once I get to the venue or whatever, it's Jeffrey. And it surprises me every time. It's like, oh my God. It's like I forget. It's like I forget who I am or what I am. And the energy when I walk in a place that I receive, that I'm stimulated to produce, that comes to me, that I express, just the whole thing. Just the whole thing. The venue. Everything. Parking lot, standing lot, everything. So, as far as the show goes, I hope, I'm thinking maybe you understand where I'm coming from. You know, at this point, good show, bad show, don't matter. With the bands, shows that I do frequent, nobody rehearses, and I'm used to it. It's not an excuse anymore. It's not an excuse anymore to me. And that might be some of Mr. Fisher's doing, and maybe the P-Funk method also, where they just play it so much and so often that they don't need to rehearse or something like that. But the no rehearsal thing is not an excuse anymore in my experience out here in LA. It's like Ole and Ole Nero was saying, you got that bang Stanky together. He said they didn't rehearse. If you think about it, they don't have to. They play together all the time anyway. They probably just have to tweak on the spot, have enough professionalism to hear an audible call, to react, to make adjustments, and to work together and get it done. The music is on paper. I mean, sure, there's certain things to be worked out. In fact, Piette said what could have been worked out is the changes, to smooth out the changes, smooth out the you know, transitions or whatever like that. That you got to work on. You might know me, being a fan of True Little Disgracious and Parliament Funkadelic. Those little disruptions and collisions of music, I got no problem with. I like when it go off the rails and the band just got it going and it's off the rails. You look up and you see Mr. Curry looking around and the drummer looking around. And they got to get it back. It's in those moments where they improvise and I think something greater than the parts happens. So I've always been a fan of improv. In fact, when Mr. Fisher said, all right, we just going to make something out of nothing. We just going to make some shit up. Lonnie Marshall didn't do that. That's my favorite part. Anyhow, so it's not really like good or bad to me, maybe in a case anymore. It's more about the experience that I had, the experience of it. Because it could be a bad experience and worth it. It could be a bad experience, but still worth every penny to have gone through it, you know, to be there and have gone through it, to experience it, has value. Whether the performance is good or not, comes secondary. How it affected me, how it made me feel, what I got out of it. Now, there have been shows where I didn't get anything out of it, and I said it. There's been shows that just didn't work, that just didn't sound right, or something sounded off, completely off, and I wasn't feeling the vibe, and, you know, and to tell the truth, to be honest with you, even that has a value. Even that has a value, to say that I had that experience. It's like every experience has a value. Get something out of everything. I guess the hope is that you don't have too many quote unquote bad experiences. Anyway, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. And for the future of funk. I told Mr. Shad, I said, you still the future. Whether you want it or not. You the future. Whether you want it or not. I'm not quite sure what I meant by that, but I'm sure I meant something, and I stand behind the statement. And it could be that he's the future, and if he don't want it, that means there ain't no future. It could mean that. You can start talking 3GP all you want. But I'm talking about the essence of Parliament Funkadelic. The essence that resonates with me. Let's put it that way. Let's just put it that way. Anyhow. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe, that ever was, is, or will be, the totality of it all, theory of universe, hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.